Freedom, Ecstasy, and Awakening, Meditating with Vignana Bhairava. It's an enormous pleasure, joy, honor to be with you all this evening. And as many of you know, this is the auspicious fifth day of Navaratri, the festival in which the goddess Durga is celebrated all over India. And due to the Indian diaspora and the prevalence of yoga around the world, also throughout the world, this is a festival that, in which the primordial power, Shakti, known as the Devi, as Durga, the one who is difficult to know, as Kali, the dark one, as Lakshmi, the goddess of auspiciousness, as Saraswati, the goddess of inspiration, in all these forms, the sacred feminine is invoked and honored. And it's a particularly great day to be beginning this class, which is, of course, a conversation between the divine feminine, the Shakti, and her consort, Shiva, the masculine principle of universal awareness bliss. So, On this particular day, which is one of the most powerful days in the calendar to start anything, according to the tradition, we are just very happy to be plunging into these practices together. So welcome to the world of the tantric revelation, the world in which every experience of life can reveal itself as a portal into the infinite. My name is Sally Kempton, and together, we're part of a virtual community that, for the time of this three-week practice, will create a container that will very profoundly affect our capacity to go deep into our meditation. There are people here from all over the continental United States, from Canada, from Mexico, from South America, from the Pacific Rim, from Europe, from the United Kingdom, from Switzerland and France. So let's take a moment, those of you who are live on the call and also those of you who are listening on the MP3 tomorrow or next week, to sense the presence of the community and understand that the virtual Sangham, the community of practitioners, is brought forward, is brought forth every time we tune into this set of practices together. And for some extraordinary, mysterious reason, which I have yet to understand on the so-called material world level, the same connection is present whether you are listening to this call live or listening to it next week or, as many people have told me, listening to it 6 months or a year from now. The power within the Sangham is encoded into the sounds, let's say, the experiences that we're bringing forth during this conference together. And as most of you know, we're going to be journeying in the next 3 weeks into what really is the beating heart of tantric meditation practice. Our guide is the revered text, the Vijnana Bhairava Tantra, roughly translated as God's mystical knowledge, and we'll say more about those words in a few minutes. Bhairava, and again we'll speak more about that, is a name for the Supreme Consciousness, who's more popularly known as Shiva. Shiva is the teacher who divulges these secret practices to his much-loved consort, who is also his own self, who's in this text called Devi, which literally means goddess, or it's the feminine form of a Sanskrit word which stands for being of light. The title describes what the Vijnana Bhairava offers us. It literally a series of portals into freedom, ecstasy, and awakening, that is, into enlightened awareness. So this is a text, a series of practices that fully intends to wake you up, to give you not only momentary but ongoing access to your luminous consciousness. So it's really a revolutionary book, and it's an initiatory book. So what we're doing here together is really the beginning of an initiatory process. Even though the Vijnana Bhairava is 1,500 years old, maybe even more, it retains its full power to transform our consciousness. Not so much by what it says, although that's pretty darn interesting, as by the states it helps open up in us. So, as I said, as we practice together, as we study this, as we dip into the dharanas, dharana in this context means centering technique, as we dip into the dharanas, the meditations, both in long and short form, you'll literally be catching glimpses, short and long glimpses, of the state that the book opens up for us. And one thing that I've always found very powerful about the Vijnana Bhairava is that it's not only for people on the path. It's actually one of the key texts that spiritual masters of different traditions have discovered and adored. My guru, during the last years of his life, kept it by his bed, and he used to read it and practice it. And when he was having a heart attack, it said that he took it into the operating room with him. It was an extraordinary, he loved it, and he was not the only contemporary teacher who loved it. There have been in the last 50 years a number of translations of this text, and I'll say more about that in a few minutes. There's a gorgeous and radical idea behind the Vijnana Bhairava, and it's that because the infinite ground of being, whose nature is both emptiness and fullness, both awareness and pulsating bliss, because that ground is ever present, we really only need a little jog, a little shift of attention in order to flip our consciousness around so that instead of perceiving difference and separation, we perceive the sweetness that matures into unity. The teacher of the Vijnana Bhairava believes that you don't need complex techniques to make this shift. Although he does give us something for every occasion, this is a book that is really written for people on many different levels of consciousness and in many different moods and states and continents and types of life experience. So some of the practices here are so simple that you can enter them in the space between breaths, which is, of course, one of the big secret and now not-so-secret teachings of the Vijnana Bhairava. It also shows us how to find the secret core of the complicated yogic processes that the old tantric practitioners tried so hard to master and that require a level of concentration and focus that for many of us is just not appropriate in the world we live in. The Vijnana Bhairava takes us to the essence of these practices so that we can actually find the simplicity at the heart of them. And, of course, in the most radical move of all, Bhairava, the teacher of this tradition, points out that your ordinary daily experience, your normal experience, and also your unusual experience also offers natural portals into true awareness. So we'll be practicing some of the basic techniques of Vijnana Bhairava as well as some of the esoteric and some of the weird ones, because we absolutely cannot do this, study this text without practicing some of the weird techniques. They're a lot of them really fun. And also we're going to be doing quite a bit of closed-eyed, on-the-mat, traditional meditation practice. You'll find that some of the practices here, in fact, many of them have been really encoded into many different traditions, not only Hindu traditions, but Buddhist traditions, and you find them in some of the Christian contemplative traditions, especially the contemporary ones. Some of them are open-eyed practices, which I like to call walking around practices. And we'll do some of these as what I also like to call speed meditations, that is short 10, 15, or 30-second kind of bite-sized immersions that give us a taste of the state they point to. And one of the gifts of the Vijnana Bhairava is it shows us how deep an immersion is possible when you really focus for 30 seconds in the middle of whatever else you're doing. So part of the practice of this course will be to take some of these dharanas, these contemplative practices, and do them during the day. And I'm going to give you, you'll be getting a homework assignment, which will also include a choice of practices, different ones every week, and a kind of a time schedule that you're invited to follow to bring them into the different openings in your day. Because Tantra, and especially the Vijnana Bhairava, is based on the principle that there's no such thing as one-size-fits-all practice, we will be sampling a number of different ways in. And among these, there is for sure going to be one that can and will transform your consciousness for now and in the future. So you've probably figured out by now, there are actually 112 centering techniques in this book, that there's way too much material to cover in 3 weeks. And if that's occurred to you, you are correct. So I actually realized a few days ago that this class, this 3-week immersion in the Vijnana Bhairava, is not the whole of it. And I'm going to continue offering classes in this text. We'll continue. In other words, this is class one, and we'll be doing 3 more classes, one every other month, which you're most welcome and invited to join, so that we will find our way really to the heart of every type of practice, every type of dharana, and also to some of the more surprising revelations that the Vijnana Bhairava offers us. Some of these we can come to immediately. Some of them actually ask us to keep going a little bit deeper. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to really have the opportunity to go as deep as you want to go over a period of time, which will let all of us assimilate what we're practicing and learning and having revealed to us in this 3-week segment. You'll have a couple of months to assimilate it, and then if you like, we can go deeper, go farther, go more. So as we begin, we're going to chant some verses that those of you who've studied with me over the years will be very familiar with. They are the Om Namah Shivaya Gurave mantras that come out of the Shaiva tradition. They will be in your chanting sheet, and we'll chant them along with Krishna Das, who chants way better than I do. You can listen or sing along. Some of you know them, and I'd like you really in this session to approach these mantras with what we could call beginner's mind. In other words, to let go of any associations you may have with them and simply focus on two things. First, the way the syllables strike your heart. And secondly, on their meaning. Because the meaning of this chant and the reason that we're doing it today, the meaning of this chant actually goes right into the essence of the deep truth at the heart of the Vijnana Bhairava. It invokes Shiva in the form of the Guru, the inner teacher, who is Bhairava, whose nature is pure, absolute, non-dual awareness, pure intelligence, pure beingness, and absolute bliss, whose form is luminous, peaceful, without attributes, without support, and yet is the support of the universe. And after we've chanted, we'll dedicate our practice, and for those of you who don't have the dedication in front of you, I will say each line out loud, and you can say it silently to yourself. And then we're going to do our first practice of the Vijnana Bhairava, which is actually, for those of you who are following the text, it's the dharana, it's verse number 71, and it's a dharana that really allows us to expand into an aspect of our consciousness that, to me, is really at the heart of this exquisite text. So you can find yourself a comfortable upright posture. Let your awareness center on the breath. Feel yourself grounding through the base of the posture. Be very beautifully and comfortably soft through the face, through the neck and shoulders. Inhaling, let go of everything that's been on your mind and in your awareness today. And we'll chant. We ask that our practice be of benefit to all beings. We ask that through the power of our practice, all beings have happiness and the cause of happiness. We ask that all beings be free of suffering and the cause of suffering. All beings know the sacred joy that lies beyond suffering. We ask that all beings know the equanimity that lies beyond grasping, hatred, and dullness. And we ask to know the equality of all that lives. Your eyes are closed. Take a moment to allow your face to soften. Your eyelids are soft. Your cheeks are soft. Your jaw is soft, relaxed. Your tongue is relaxed on the floor of your mouth. Let your shoulders be soft. Your neck be soft. Feel your upper back softening, your arms and hands. Soften and release the lower back. Soften the thighs and knees and calves and feet. And with the next inhalation, have the intention that your awareness come into the heart, into the center of the chest. And remember a moment when you felt happy, when you felt relaxed. It could be any moment of happiness, of relaxation. Remember where you were, who you were with, what the quality of that feeling was. Go as deeply into the sense memory of that moment as you can at this moment. And see if you can kindle within yourself, if you can tune in within yourself to the memory that your cells and neurons hold of this moment of happiness, of relaxation, of love. Notice where in your body that feeling of happiness is stored. And then remove the memory and just let yourself rest in the felt sense of well-being, of happiness, of relaxation, of love. However that core sense of unconditional positive experience is felt in this moment. See if you can let that feeling spread through your body. And just enter deeply as you can, into that felt sense of well-being, of happiness, of loving presence. And if thoughts are coming up, or if doubts are coming up, or if anything is coming up, to see if you can tune into the felt sense of well-being that is perhaps just behind it. And see if you can also sense the fact that this sense of happy or loving or relaxed presence has a dynamic quality to it, that it pulsates, it vibrates. It doesn't stay the same, it keeps transforming. See if you can, as I continue talking, as I will do, about some of the intricacies of the text before we go into the next dharana, see if you can stay tuned to that pulsing quality in your own consciousness, and to the fact that at its heart, that quality, that pulsation in your consciousness is constantly creating experience inside you. And whether you call this pulsation of happiness or well-being that we've tuned into, whether you call it joy, love, bliss, satisfaction, contentment, or any of the other names in all the different languages that recognize this primal human experience, understand that your inner field has the ability to feel good. And that just as core to your aliveness is the quality of being aware, core to your aliveness is the capacity for well-being, which even if it manifests in the smallest way, is always a quality of your aliveness, of your being. And the practices that we'll be discovering later in this course are all expressions of the primal cosmic impulse to express itself as well-being, as love. They are offered to you and I as hints from our own higher consciousness, whose nature is love. And really, for each of us to recognize the essence of our own experience as awareness and as love is the goal of all the practices in this text. So you can open your eyes if you like, or you can leave them closed and just listen to my voice as we move through some practical, let's call them scholarly, understandings about the Vijnanabhairava, and then into our next practice. So the Vijna Nibhairava comes out of a tradition that's usually described as non-dual Shaiva Tantra. Tantra meaning a set of tools or texts. It's sometimes described as referring to the loom that's the interweaving of this manifest universe. It's about 1,500 years old, and it's become a part not only of the Indian tantric traditions, but also of many Buddhist traditions. These dharanas, these aphorisms, found their way into one of the early books of Zen stories to come out in the West called Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. Rajneesh Osho, the controversial tantric teacher of the 70s and 80s, wrote a 1,500-page compendium of meditation techniques based on this book. It's called The Book of Secrets. The great Kashmiri scholar and guru Lakshman Ju taught an entire generation of scholars, East Indian as well as Western, to understand this book, to read this book. And it's come down to us through translations that have mainly come from this original group of students of Lakshman Ju. I think one of the reasons why this text has been so significant to us and has become even more so in the last few years is because it offers not just a direct meditative experience of our deepest consciousness, it also offers us an experiential way to understand what non-duality really is. And one of the reasons that I want to do a little bit more than just give you meditation moments, although we will do a lot of that, but I want to explain some of the teachings behind these verses, because I found that my inner practice is much more it's much more powerful when I really understand to some extent why the tradition considers these particular meditations important. In other words, in Buddhism, they talk about how what they call the view or the way you understand reality is actually a crucial part of our experience of meditation and spirituality. So the Vijnanabhairava, although it's primarily a meditation text, is a meditation text that comes out of a certain context. And so as we do, as I talk about it, as I say, we'll be dipping in and out of the text. But at least in this particular class, I also want to do a little bit of the etymology of the words and a little bit of just opening up to the context in which these teachings are given. So the word vijnana means mystical knowledge. It's vijnana is related to the word jnana, which means knowledge, but vijnana is direct personal experience, actual entry into the supreme mystery, which in the Shaiva tantric tradition is known as Shiva. And one of the meanings of Shiva that I like, it's usually translated as auspicious, but I like another one of the translations, which is that which underlies. In other words, Shiva is the silent, formless, and this is going to turn out to be important, unknowable source. The great conscious awareing that's the ground of being, the supreme intelligence. And he has about 1,000 names, many of which are related to the mythic tales that present Shiva as a deity, a half-naked snake-festooned yogi who both destroys universes when that's appropriate, but who also liberates us from delusion. And in mythology, Bhairava is a particularly fearsome form of Shiva. And in Tantra, as a lot of you know, the fierce deity forms are associated with liberation. So they're the aspects of our inner awareness that liberates us. And Bhairava, the story goes that Bhairava arises after Shiva has lopped off the heads of the creator deity Brahma. And he's done this for a good reason. Brahma has created the first woman and immediately fallen in love with her and has attempted to have sex with her. So Shiva, when he sees this going on, manifests in a very fierce form and cuts off Brahma's head, which, because Brahma is immortal, doesn't actually kill him, though it does give him, as you can imagine, a major wake-up call and gets him to stop doing what he was doing, in case you're wondering. But because Shiva had done violence, he had to do penance. And so in doing penance, he takes this form of Bhairava, who is a very ugly form with a terrible scowl. But so, you know, he's scary. But in the tantric traditions, his fearsome face is fierce to delusion itself. So it's not itself scary. It's scary to Maya. And it's said that Bhairava creates fear in those who are deluded by the universe. But in those who see him as he is, he gives the experience of all pervasiveness. In other words, he protects us from delusion. And one of the verses of the Vijnana Bhairava translates the first syllable, Ba, as both fear and as all pervasiveness. And the line says, Bhairava is one who through fear, the Sanskrit word is bhaya, makes everything resound and who pervades the entire universe. He who utters the word Bhairava unceasingly becomes Shiva, and you might want to try this at home. It's quite a resonant word. Lakshman Ju, in his commentary in this verse, says that actually this makes a lot of sense because it's when we're really scared that we most tend to call on divine help. And in fact, one of the famous practices in the Vijnana Bhairava points out that one of the really best conditions to experience awakening is when we're scared, when we're in a state of terror. However, just for the delight of the practice of Sanskrit etymology, which I know some of you really like, the great Kashmiri sage Abhinavagupta takes apart the name Bhairava like this. He says, the syllable ba signifies that which carries the whole universe, which nourishes and supports it, and is carried by it. In other words, Bhairava is not only the source of everything, he's also inside everything. He's carried in everything. Abhinava goes on to say that the syllable ra, the second part of the word rava means sound, as in the sacred sound om, and the primordial declaration, I am. I am, which in the tantric tradition as well as in the Hebraic wisdom tradition and other traditions, I am, aham, I don't know the Hebrew, unfortunately, is actually this what the all-pervasive divine consciousness says when announcing its presence, I am, without name, without form, just simple being. Simple I amness. And that's the experience that we ourselves have when we're deep in meditation. It's a wordless recognition of our own existence as that primal source. So Bhairava is not only the primal consciousness, he's also the teacher. He's the voice of our intuitive wisdom. And his teachings, which were, as it were, channeled through the minds of sages, are called agamas. And many of them take the form of dialogues with Shiva's inseparable other half, Shakti, who is the energy, the dynamism, the creative power within Bhairava's waveless consciousness. So in Tantra, reality is both utter stillness and absolute unceasing creative movement. Shiva the stillness, Shakti, the movement. So the basic teaching of the Vijnana Bhairava and non-dual tantric Shaivism is that one single vast intelligence, which is utterly free, creative, and ecstatic, is not only the source of all that is, but is also within everything. And we can discover our oneness with that consciousness in any moment by simply redirecting our attention from the appearance of things to the underlying presence that lurks inside everything. We can discover that source by redirecting our attention from the external appearance of things to the underlying presence that lurks inside everything. In other words, there are cracks, there are openings inside this material universe and inside our bodies. And when our attention can tune into these chinks in the apparent opacity, I love that word, the opaqueness of our body, we can, in a moment, experience this profound inner shift. And instead of experiencing ourselves as limited, we can recognize all the different permutations of inner experience, everything from a feeling of peace to a vast recognition of our oneness with the whole universe. So Vijnana Bhairava specializes in revealing these cracks. And unlike the more rigorous or puritanical methods of, say, the Yoga Sutras, the tantric meditation techniques in the Vijnana Bhairava are very often playful. There's a really a liberated spirit in them. And here's what, to me, is the most crucial aspect of this teaching. When you realize that there's absolutely nowhere where divine consciousness is not present, where that there's no experience, you know, including the experiences that we think are not just uncomfortable, but downright, you know, bad. When you realize that there's nowhere where divine consciousness is not, you recognize that even when you fall, even when you screw up, you're falling into God. So really, and this is an utterly crucial teaching of this text, there's no reason not to play. There's no reason not to experiment. Obviously, you do it with some wisdom, but the point is that even your mistakes in your spiritual life have the potential for revealing the oneness. So really, since you're continuously being inundated with the possible, with openings into divine awareness, the only real mistake you could make is not to take the time to notice. Because, you know, the tantric sages take for granted that you're already, always, any moment, no matter what, totally accepted and loved. Because your body and mind are made out of love. They're powered by the very same intelligence that creates and maintains universes. In other words, there's no outside. There's no me and you. Everything is happening inside this great pulsing heart, this one great I am. So if you understand that everything is made of this ecstatic awareness that's completely free and endlessly potent, that everything is inside it, that whatever exists and whatever does not exist is part of this ecstatic weaving, then you start to realize that you have the freedom of this consciousness, which is to say you have the freedom to transform your experience by going into it. And that at no moment can you be separate from that consciousness. So wake up if you've fallen asleep. We're going to take a moment now to just follow this understanding as a meditation. Again, this is one of the dharanas in the Vijnana Bhairava. It's a practice called bhavana, which literally means spiritual attitude. And let's just, again, take yourself back into a meditative posture. Allow yourself to pay attention to the breath. Your eyes are closed. Your awareness rides the breath. For a moment, just imagine how your body is calibrated so perfectly to sustain your life. Consider how your heart never stops, how it continues to pump blood through your body, and that it not only regulates the flow of blood, it also maintains the magnetic resonance in every cell with every other cell. And it contains a powerful brain that takes in information, that interacts so naturally with everything in its environment. Consider the way that cells are born and divide and die and are reborn, constantly refreshing and rejuvenating the organs of your body. Consider how your liver and your spleen and your skin cells and your intestines, how every organ in a healthy body works in consonance with every other organ. And consider the extraordinary system of neurons and neural impulses that take in information and process it in the brain, that produce thoughts and emotions, that store memories, that regulates your body even without your being actively conscious of it. And have the recognition that all of this, including your thoughts and your physical sensations and the breath that is flowing in and out of your body, all of it is an aspect of this one divine intelligence of Bhairava, of Shakti. And just have this awareness. Wherever your attention goes, inside your body or outside your body, everywhere is a state of divine consciousness. There is no place inside or outside that you can go, that you can think about, that you can feel, that is not made of divine awareness, that's not made of sacred energy. Just as space exists in the heart of every atom, inside the space within your cells is pure awareness. And that same intelligence is alive in every particle of air, in every leaf, in every drop of water, in every crumb of earth, in every rock. Wherever your attention goes, everywhere is the state of Shiva, of divine, dynamic awareness. deep breath in. Wherever your attention goes, everywhere is the state of Shiva, of Shakti, of divine conscious energy, of creative intelligence. This is a, as I said earlier, it's a bhavana. It's a feeling state that can shift your ordinary sense of self. And it happens to be one of my favorite walking around practices. It's a really good practice to do when you're sitting in a traffic jam or feeling extremely annoyed or feeling very happy. Just for a moment, consider wherever my attention goes, it's all made of divine particles of awareness. So we'll start our, let's say, verse-by-verse journey into the Vijnana Bhairava. And I want to begin by setting the scene. One of the things that everyone who's ever studied this text is struck by is the fact that it's a dialogue between lovers. So maybe because all of us in our secret heart would love to be in eternal dialogue with someone that we adore. Perhaps by putting ourselves into the scene where the lovers are together, it will also help us take ourselves more deeply into the practice that we'll be doing in the next few minutes. So again, your eyes are closed. If you didn't come out of meditation from before, very good. And also know that if you're so deep in meditation that you can't quite follow this, just listen to my voice and understand that the state that's arising is the state that you're meant to be in at this moment. We're going to do this, we're going to do a visualization, which is unusual for the Vijnana Bhairava, but just see if you can take yourself now in your imagination into a shimmering grove. If you're a visualizer, imagine it as a summer grove somewhere in the Himalayas with shimmering snow-capped mountains behind you, with pine and fir and cedar trees, with beautiful rocks, and perhaps a few caves filled with hermits somewhere in the distance. But realize that you're not really in this physical world. You're in an alternate reality on the subtle mountain called Mount Kailas, which is the abode of Shiva and Shakti, who have, for the purposes of this conversation, chosen to take a form. In other words, the formless intelligence, formless transcendent presence that's the source of all that is, and the dynamic power within that intelligence. They've chosen to divide themselves and take the forms of Shiva and Shakti, Bhairava and Bhairavi, the Mahadev, the great god, and Mahadevi, his consort. They're reclining at this moment under a beautiful tree on soft silken moss. And remember, their bodies and the grove are made of light. They're made of thought. The leaves of the trees surrounding them are also made of light, and they scintillate in the form of rubies and sapphires and diamonds. Shiva is luminous white. He has chiseled features. You can tell as I talk about him that I'm sort of in love with him. He's got a perfect yogi's body. His hair is piled on the top of his head in dreads, and there's a crescent moon caught in his hair. The goddess is reclining in his arms. Her body is dark, dark as midnight, and it gleams with subtle black light. Her face is more beautiful than any human being could possibly imagine. And in the delicacy of her features, the beauty of her body, she incarnates love and blissfulness. She's a goddess. And lying in Shiva's arms, she addresses him with the loving name Bhairava, meaning the one who carries the universe and pervades it with his light. And between the two of them, the god and the goddess, a current of bliss flows, a light that ripples erotically at the same time that it manifests as enlightened wisdom. So they're in their eternal conversation, exchanging wisdom and experience in the endless flow of embodied intimacy and delight. That's the highest form of spiritual experience. They're one, and they're also two, and we're going to overhear their conversation. So tracing Bhairava's chest with the stem of a mountain flower, the goddess murmurs, "O Divine One, I've heard all the esoteric teachings and the incredibly complex practices of the Tantra. I've learned the essence of the Trika, which is the traditional name for Kashmir Shaivism, the philosophy that describes reality in its threefold nature as God, Goddess, and World. I've read all this, I've done all this, but I still have questions. I still have doubts. I really need the answer here. So let me ask you, Bhairava, please tell me, what's the essential path to enlightenment? Is the right path the one we follow by tuning into the energies inside the vowel sounds in Sanskrit, like we learn in some of the tantric texts? Or is the way to get there by moving backwards through the ninefold mantras, through the different levels of consciousness, the tattvas? Or should we follow the path of the vibrations of Om as it resounds in the topmost chakra? And also, Bhairava, tell me about the energy, the Shakti that's both transcendent and immanent. Is the ultimate Shakti the same as the energy that manifests the physical world? Is that energy one? And if it's one, how can it be divided? And as Devi asks these questions about the esoteric practices of Tantra, which might seem very arcane to us, but just think about it. I mean, she could be asking us about, you know, any of the New Age or Old Age practices that we might be doing. She's actually asking him about religion itself, about the rituals and forms of religion. And as she asks these questions, a smile appears on Bhairava's face. He says, "Oh, my darling," he says, "sadhu, sadhu," which means bravo. He says, "This is a worthy question. Your questions go to the Tantra Saram, the essence of the Tantras. Oh, blessed one, this is very secret, what I'm going to tell you. It's guha niyatamam, very esoteric material. But because you've asked this question for the sake of all beings, I'm going to tell you the secret, the essential tantric secret. Tantra Saram idam priye, my beloved. This is the essence. This is it. This is the essence. All these teachings about mantras and deities and all these divisions and differentiation, the truth is they're just magical formulas. They're like castles in the sky. They have no essence." And of course, Bhairava here, it's not a completely new understanding, especially for those of you who, you know, follow direct path teachings or Zen. Bhairava really is stating the ultimate non-dual hard-ass position. He's dismissing all the rituals, all the complex practices, all the mantric formulas that are supposed to give special powers. He's essentially saying orthodox religion is irrelevant to enlightenment. And he actually goes on to say that that all of these orthodox formulations are like the stories used to frighten children into being good, or, as he says, like the sweets that mothers give to children to get them to behave well. In other words, this is my interpretation, all these ways of describing God and all these practices are actually meant to help unawakened people live decent ethical lives, which is not a bad thing at all, as we all know, but it's not the direct path. And he's also deconstructing the entire system of tantric practice manuals, including the asanas of hatha yoga, including all the pranayamas and breathing exercises. And what he's saying is they're very good for certain aspects of worldly life, but they don't take you to the essence. And then he softens a bit. He says, you know, actually all these descriptions, those three-headed Bhairavas and ninefold paths and collections of mantras, they're actually taught to help people clear their confused minds when, you know, they're distracted by worldly life. In other words, he's talking about us. You know, he's saying that we need practices that can actually give us a way to focus our minds. And, you know, very much, you know, much of Tantra, as all spiritual paths, is meant to teach us concentration and to help us focus, to create a kind of base camp for our consciousness where it can gather the skills that we need in order to stay focused on these very subtle truths that Bhairava is going to give us. But to use another metaphor, they're like the car that takes you to the temple. So I just want you to take a moment and consider the practices that you've done and continue to do with great respect, actually, because all these practices are enormously useful. But what he's actually saying, and we're going to find it as we go on, is that the path is really much more simple than it appears. So Parvati, the Devi, the Shakti's aim is to inspire Bhairava not only to tell us the practice, but also to tell us who he is and who she is. And so this is what he says. This is verse 14 for those of you who are following the text. He says, "The state of Bhairava is free from limitations of space, time, and form. It's not particular to any place or designation. It's inexpressible because it can't be described." In other words, it's pure awareness. Now, for a lot of you, this is not news. You know, we are modern practitioners. We are pretty well educated in spiritual truths. We know that the ultimate reality is pure awareness. Even if we haven't experienced it, we know that. But what you can understand here is that these words of Bhairava's constitute an initiation. He's not just giving intellectual knowledge. He's actually asking you to recognize what you are. So just right now, turn your attention back on itself and be aware of your own awareness. Let Bhairava's words help you recognize that his ultimate state is available to you in any moment that you let yourself be present to the awareness that is there behind all your experience. So let yourself be present to awareness. For 15 seconds, pay attention to attention itself. Bhairava goes on to say, this state of Bhairava is filled with inner bliss. The Sanskrit anta swabhavananda, literally the bliss of one's own inner experience. In that ultimate state, there's nothing but itself. There's nothing outside. There's just the recognition that you yourself are not different than the world, and that whatever is arising is one brilliant, blissful awareness. This state is, he says, it should be known as immaculate, all-inclusive fullness. In this supreme fullness, who can be the object of worship? And who is there to be pleased? There's no you and there's no me. There's just this one great fullness. As Rumi wrote, each thing in the universe is a vessel filled to the brim with wisdom and beauty. Each thing is a drop from the burning river of his infinite beauty. It is a hidden treasure because of its fullness. So Bhairava is saying this state of Bhairava, which has no form, which is indescribable, is also overflowing with blissfulness. And then he says, this transcendent state of Shiva, this ultimate consciousness, this truth of who you are, can only be seen, it can only be known, it can only be experienced through Shakti. It can only be known and experienced through Shakti. This is really important. It's really important, and it's really the reason that Tantra is such a profound path. Because basically what he's saying is that nothing that we do is going to allow us to know ourselves. He actually says the ultimate experience of Bhairava is unknowable because it's the knower. And that's often described as the fact that the perceiver cannot be perceived because it's the one who's perceiving, just as an eyeball can't look at itself. So to enter that awareness, Bhairava says, we need the help of Shakti. We actually need the support of the energy. And in us, in individuals, the form of the Shakti that gives us the power to enter the ultimate state is sometimes called Kundalini, the specific power that becomes active in us through yoga. But what Shiva is also saying, and listen to this carefully, the energy inside you, whatever form it takes, whether it takes the form of a sensation in your body or a pulsation in your mind or an impulse or a thought, every form of energy inside your being is an expression of Shakti, and it taken together, all of these energies are a breadcrumb trail that Shakti, our own internal energy, leaves for us that we can learn to follow. And if we know how to follow these signals, they will lead us into this thought-free state, this awareing that is the ultimate reality. And that's really what these practices are about. The qualities of Shakti are pulsation, creativity, and feeling. The qualities of Shakti are pulsation, creativity, and feeling. So when you enter deeply into the energetics of your experience, including your personal daily life experiences of pulsation, of creativity, of the different forms of feeling, pleasurable and uncomfortable, you are on the path of Shakti. And what he goes on to say, I love this line, is that Shakti is the doorway into Shiva. The word is Shaiva Mukhi, which means, Mukha means mouth. So Shakti is the mouth of Shiva, meaning the entrance point into Shiva. And the entrance into the ultimate state is through the energy. So what we're going to experience here as we follow this path of Shakti is that the energy that arises is the pulsation within the breath. As the expansion that arises when you tune into the space at the end of a thought. As the sensations in your muscles when you run or practice a yoga posture. All these and much more contain a hidden fire. And if you can turn your attention into that, into the fire within your experience. Walk into that fire by tuning into the pulsations of Shakti in your body and mind. That energy will ultimately melt the walls that keep you limited. So Bhairava says, this is in verse 20, that when you really enter into this state of Shakti, into the pure pulsation of the Shakti, when you become really immersed in it, so immersed in it that you let go of your egoic self-consciousness. When you melt into the different ways in which Shakti manifests, then you'll find yourself carried into the non-dual awareness of Shiva, into the state that's called in Sanskrit Samavesha, or sameness with the highest, in which your sense of separation melts. And in that awe of relaxing into the energy within experience, you can reach the state of Shiva. So take a deep breath in and exhale, and we're going to go to the practice that Shiva tells us is, it's like the first and last practice in this text. It's so important, and there are actually four verses on it, and we're going to practice it this week in several different ways. So take a breath in. I'm going to ring the gong to wake you up in case you've fallen into meditation. I'm going to ring it again and again. So here we are. Bhairava has just told the goddess that the way to this inexpressible, unknowable state of pure awareness is through her. And she says to him, okay, Lord, she says it much more reverently than that, please give me the method. How do I do this? How do I enter the state of supreme Shakti that's the path to the ultimate? So in verse 24, Bhairava gives her this simple and powerful practice that is the root of the whole process. And he's going to give us, as I said, many, many more practices. He'll tell us in verse 140 that any one of them can lead you into the ultimate state. But this one and the three or four verses that come after are the really the basics, the core, the one, I would say, the one indispensable practice. So here's the translation, and this is verse 24. The exhaling breath, known as prana, ascends upward from the heart. The inhaling breath, known as jiva, descends. Both pause at two points. Their state of fullness, that is, the expansion of the pause between breaths, is found by stopping the ascending and descending breaths at the place of their origin. The exhaling breath ascends upward from the heart. The inhaling breath descends. Both pause at two points. Their state of fullness, that is, the expansion of the pause between breaths, is found by stopping the ascending and descending breaths at their place of origin. Now, this is, on the face of it, a simple practice. But the understanding behind it is complex and extraordinary. So remember, we've said that Shakti disguises herself as the space between breaths. She literally hides within the body and breath, inside these natural primal activities. But when you enter the space between activities, you can catch her naked presence, and there the state of Bhairava resides. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to begin with the practice inside the breath, and some of you will know this practice. Some of you may have received it, and you may not have recognized it for the key that it is, because the recognition that you do it with is really crucial. In Tantra, we're always being asked to recognize the divine presence inside ordinary experience. So much of the teaching here is actually a pointing out instruction. That is, it's meant to remind us to look inside an ordinary moment and recognize what can happen if we pay attention in the right way. So without knowing what it is we're looking for, we can miss the significance of the pause between the breaths. And actually, we can sometimes miss the pause between the breaths too, but I'm going to give you a clue as to how to find it. Meditation on the breath is the most widespread practice there is. We've all done it. It's calming. It connects us to a sense of peace. But if you just keep following the in and out movements of the breath, you miss the essence of the practice, which is the pause, the gap between the breaths. It's in the gap, it's in the pause, that the fullness at the heart of all activity reveals itself. My guru, when he first introduced us to this practice, said the space at the end of the inhalation and at the end of the exhalation is the space of the self. It's the space where God reveals himself. He used the words himself. And so I'm going to ask you, as I instruct you in this practice, to do it with the recognition that what you're looking for is not just the space between the breaths, but that subtle point in your daily experience where divine awareness can reveal itself. So, close your eyes, please. Allow yourself to simply pay attention for this moment to the inhalation and exhalation. breath is going in and going out. And I'd like to ask you for now not to try to make the breath go deep, but actually to follow the inhalation into where it comes to rest. And it should be somewhere in the region of the heart, or perhaps between the heart and the diaphragm. And then follow the breath as it flows out. The exhalation flows up from the heart, out the nostrils, into the space outside, and comes to rest. So just for this moment, follow it, letting your mind merge with the breath. And see if you can relax with the breath so that your mind is riding the breath, your attention is riding the breath, so that you begin to become aware of the natural length of your inhalation and exhalation. Don't try to prolong it. Just let it settle. Now, at the end of the inhalation, hold the breath for just a couple of seconds. And then let it go. And let the breath flow out. And then at the end of the exhalation, hold the breath for just a couple of seconds. So now the breath is flowing in to the heart. And you're holding the breath at the end of the inhalation for just the tiniest fraction of a moment, and then at the end of the exhalation for the tiniest fraction of a moment. Now begin to focus your attention not on the flow of the breath, but on these points where you're deliberately pausing between breaths. So let the breath flow in. Hold the breath at the end of the inhalation just for a second or two. Focus there and let the breath flow out. And then focus on the point at the end of the exhalation where you're holding the breath. And begin to feel as though the breath is moving between these two points. The little pause that you're creating at the end of the inhalation, the little pause that you're creating at the end of the exhalation. So as I take you into the next verse or the next phase of this practice, see if you can continue following the breath with your awareness, allowing yourself to pause in the space at the end of the inhalation and at the end of the exhalation. The flow of breath is the flow of Shakti. Prana Shakti is one of the names for the way divine energy moves in the human being. The pause between the breaths is the subtle place where Shakti gathers herself in order to take the next breath. And though in this practice that we're doing right now, we are creating the pause with our own effort. As you deepen your awareness of this practice, you begin to realize that the pause is really there. You don't have to create it. The pause, that opening, that space between the breaths, is, if you pay attention to it, not just the doorway into the inner self, not just the doorway into the state of pure consciousness or pure divine awareness. It is that, it is God consciousness itself. So just stay with that practice with the intention to recognize this little space between the breaths. As what I like to call the God space. In Sanskrit, it's called, of course, the Madhya, which means center or gap. It's the place where Shakti gathers at the beginning and end of the breath. As so many of you know, here's some lore from the, it's a significant part of the practice as we're going to continue it. Yoga science divides the breath into three parts that are called in Sanskrit purvaka, which means inhalation or taking in fullness, rechaka, which means emptying out in exhalation, and kumbhaka, which means holding the breath. The word kumbha means pot, so kumbhaka is making a pot. And kumbhaka is the practice in yoga of holding the breath so that the prana shakti, the energy inside the breath, can expand. There's a saying in yoga that prana and mind are inextricably connected. So when the prana moves, it's said, the mind moves. When the prana is still, the mind is still. And from the point of view of tantric teachings, the reason that prana and mind are so connected is because both of them are aspects of how Shakti manifests human consciousness in the physical world. Shakti becomes prana, life force, and keeps bodies alive and vibrant. Shakti also becomes consciousness itself, the inner field of awareness or chitta that lets us experience life. And both these forms of Shakti, prana and mind, when they are moving, carry our attention outward through the senses, create our sense of being limited, being particular, being at the mercy of our thoughts and feelings. And again, as so many of you know, our conceptual understandings, our stories, our perceptions, the whole, what John Kabat-Zinn calls the full catastrophe. It all begins and ends as waves of movement in the mind. And these movements in the mind are enacting the outgoing tendency of Shakti. The power, it's called Visarga in Sanskrit, the power of emission that creates worlds both in and out of the mind. So the core strategy of yoga is to coax the mind and the breath to give up moving, not just for the sake of stillness, but so that the Shakti, the expansive fullness that's within the breath and within the mind, can actually reveal itself as what it is. So the kshobha, the agitation of the breath and the mind, mask the consciousness that's just behind them, just the way the foam bubbles hides the liquid. And all those practices get us to still the mind. They're all contained in this natural process that lets us dive in between the waves of the moving prana and the waves of the moving mind into the inner Shakti, the fullness and wholeness, the space between the breaths. It's the core tantric strategy for letting the Shakti expand moment by moment by moment. According to the tantras, you and I breathe 21,656 times a day. And in between every breath is the pause, the mantra. So, in this moment, allow yourself to flow with the breath. Your focus is on the pause between breaths. Your attention, remember, is on the space, the beginning and the end of the inhalation. This tiny space at the beginning and the end of inhalation and exhalation. And your practice for now is to hold the space just for 2 or 3 seconds. And then let the breath naturally arise, flow out, hold for 2 or 3 seconds at the end of the exhalation, and let it arise and flow back in. And you're letting this happen very easily. The ease is important. You make this small effort to hold the breath, but only for a few seconds, and never long enough so that there's a strain. Your breath retention is so easy, so small, that it's almost no effort at all. But your focus is not on the rising of the breath. It's on the pause, the space between. It's flowing down and into the heart with the inhalation, out and up through the nostrils, and merging in the air outside with the exhalation. And as you become easier with these tiny pauses, if your mind wants to move, let it remind you that these spaces between the breath are the space where the fullness of Shakti, which is the fullness of Bhairava, can expand as peace, as self-revelation, and as you continue the practice, what you may find happening is that you begin to feel as though the breath is flowing horizontally from the space inside to the space outside. And you may even find that the space at the end of the inhalation and the space at the end of the exhalation become one. And as you hold this small pause in the breath, you give the Shakti in the breath the chance to expand and draw you into the Shaktya Shantaha, the peaceful state of Shakti. The Shanta Namasao, the peaceful space, which is revealed through the pause in the flow of the breath. As we come to the end of our time together, allow yourself to stay present with the flow of breath and with the space at the beginning and the end of each breath. And understand that this is a practice that you can do all day long in any moment that you have a couple of seconds free. You can pause and be present with the space at the beginning and the end of the exhalation and the space at the beginning and the end of the inhalation, and let yourself be drawn into the state of Shanta Namasao, the peaceful space, which is the space of Bhairava. You'll be receiving a homework assignment and an audio version of this meditation, and as well some walking around practices from the Vijnana Bhairava. And I'm going to encourage you, and I'll give you the instructions to make these walking around practices a part of your daily life. Even just for 90 seconds, a few times a day. And see what happens as you begin to make turning into the Shakti spaces an actual part of your day, a natural part of your day. So I'll be sending you some more handouts. There's one, a handout of translations and transliterations for the first group of verses. I do encourage you to look at the notes on Tantra that is on the course website. And I'll also be sending you some other notes on the text and the practices in the course of this week. Please don't hesitate to share your experience and your questions on the listserv, and I will be answering questions through the listserv. And, of course, other people often have wisdom on the issues that concern you. It's a total joy to be with you. And as our practice expands and as we move through the next weeks, just know that we are holding the space for each other, allowing the Shakti to expand our awareness and help us to touch what we really are, moment by moment by moment. Namaste. Have a wonderful evening and a wonderful week.